Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Orioles win last night 6-0. Game 2 of the 3-game series tonight at 6:30. Baltimore Baseball Tonight pregame coverage at 5:30. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter live from Pickles. And let's talk Rangers now as we head out to the Window Nation Fan Guest Hotline. Evan Grant covers the Rangers for the Dallas Morning News, and he joins us now. And Evan, thank you so much for your time. We appreciate it. We sit here in Baltimore where the Orioles are a disappointment. I most people we talked to preseason thought the Rangers were going to be good. They're sitting 3 games under 500 at the moment. What's wrong with the Rangers?
They don't hit. the offense has been an enormous disappointment. This team was built for runs. The intention was that this team was going to be a top 10 offense, and it has hovered around the bottom of the league all year. And I think you saw last night that when this team gets down, it also doesn't show a real ability to bounce back. When Patrick Corbin gave up a 3-run homer, it was a 4-run lead for the Orioles. That would have amounted to the Rangers' biggest comeback of the year if they had gotten back into that game. So the offense hasn't hit. The pitching staff has been very good despite some injuries. The bullpen has been probably better than expected. But until this team hits, it's not going to go anywhere. And quite frankly, guys, you know, I think Rangers are starting to run out of time if they're going to make a decision on which direction the season's going to go.
That's where I was going to go. We're almost halfway through the season at this point. Is this just who this Rangers team is in terms of the offense? Have you seen any signs of life or signs of a turnaround?
I mean, there have been some individual guys who have gotten hot for a while, but I've not seen anything that represents a significant offensive uptick. And look, when this team scores 4 runs, just 4 runs, they are 27-4. They have Wow. the best record in baseball when they score 4 or more runs, and they just haven't been able to do it. So to your point, no, I have not seen any signs. And we are at game 80 tonight for the Rangers, so basically at the halfway point. And listen, to believe otherwise, I think it's important for the front office to believe in a team, but I also think that at some point in time, the data starts to stack up to where you say, is this team who this team is performing to be?
So what surprises you more from – obviously there's been a significant downturn from them wiping up the Orioles and winning a World Series. Like, is it that the – Youngs and the Carters and the Langfords haven't either been able to stay healthy or have long enough sample size of kind of fulfilling the promise they showed? Or is it the Seegers and the Simeons and the established bats haven't done it either? Does one shock you more than the other?
I think it's a little bit of all of it. You know, I did some research this morning and I looked back at the Rangers offense in 23 and where they are since then. And literally, of the 7 guys who had at least 200 at-bats in 23 and are still playing for this team in 25, all of them, with the exception of Josh Smith, have really significant downturns in their OPS. So it has been across the board. And one thing Bruce Bochy says, and look, this guy having won 4 World Series knows a little bit about that, the subject, is that to win a World Series, you have to have 1 or 2 guys be surprises, and the rest of your guys perform at about their average. And the question that is starting to form in my mind is, did the Rangers have that weird year where everybody performed above their career norms, and that the regression from that has been so significant that it looks like, yeah, those were career years. It wasn't the start of some kind of era for these players. It was their career.
We're talking with Evan Grant. It's Inside Access here on The Fan. Evan, I'm curious to get your perspective of what you saw from Trevor Rogers last night, because he was decent in Boston his first start of the year, but then bad in Tampa. He was terrible a year ago, was not pitching great in AAA. How much of this was Rogers, and how much was it the approach of the Rangers hitters who seemed to be up there hacking?
Well, they were. And look, Trevor threw a lot of strikes, and even in the seventh and eighth inning, you know, when I thought the Rangers should have tried to work a little bit more on counts and things like that, because Rogers was getting into uncharted territory, they were still hacking early. But I went back and I looked at all his pitches. They were strikes, you know, and by the sixth and seventh inning, you've determined who you're going to be that night. So a lot of hats off to Trevor Rogers for that. But yeah, I mean, he exploited this team's aggressiveness. And I think the other thing that you have to factor in is, while Trevor's got, you know, they're very small splits this year, but while he's got nice splits against left-handed hitters, the Rangers sat their best player, Corey Seager, who is, you know, kind of had to be maintained since he's gone through a couple of hamstring injuries, and their hottest player, Josh Smith, who was also a left-handed hitter last night. So the offense was going into it without its best players either.
Well, you mentioned, Evan, the pitching has been really good for Texas, and Patrick Corbin did not have a great night by any means last night, but you still look at his season numbers, and they're still a heck of a lot better than they have been over the past handful of years or so. What's led to this little bit of resurgent type of year for Corbin?
Well, I think you can't – I hate to quote the cliche, but I don't think you can overlook the idea of the change of scenery factor. I do think that the mental – wear and tear when you perform poorly in the same place over and over again, and reaction starts to get more and more negative. You know, if you get a new start somewhere, you kind of wipe the slate clean. I think also the Rangers identified some things when they had a real desperate need for a starter come up late in spring training, and they looked into Corbin. They saw some things that indicated maybe his performance was going to take a turn for the positive, particularly, I think, the use of his cutter and how effective he had been with that. And so they basically bet on that. And really, guys, they weren't expecting this kind of performance out of Patrick Corbin either. They knew what they were signing. They knew what the numbers were. They also knew that they were in a real pinch pitching-wise, and they needed a guy who could go out and – even if it was a bad night, he could stay out there and take a licking for at least five innings so that they wouldn't burn through their bullpen. And Patrick has done that, and he's pitched better than his record and numbers actually indicate.
So, big picture, I mean, we saw these two franchises not long ago meeting in the playoffs. Like, you obviously were paying attention to the Orioles there. I guess there's a cautionary tale that even, you know, great prospects who get off to hot starts doesn't mean that there won't be total variance. But, like, are you more surprised by the Orioles or the Rangers? And just your thoughts on both at this point?
Well, I mean, that's a great question. But what I did think during the 2023 division series was that this Baltimore team had so many young prospects, and the farm system seemed to be churning guys out, that I thought it was going to be the start of a real era of a real rebirth for the Oriole organization. I'm really surprised at the downturn that this team has had. But at the same token, you know, I didn't expect the Rangers to have a losing record last year.
Right.
And they had addressed the one flaw that they had in the 2023 team, which was they tightened up their bullpen. They had great bullpen work last year, and they still finished six games below 500. So I guess the answer is that both of these teams have been in different ways a disappointment. I guess from my perspective, if I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Rutschman, who I know is hurt, and Henderson, and I'm not going to go through a bunch of Westberg
right.
and a bunch of other names, I still see that there's a significant number of really young players here with upside. And so I think that's positive. On the Rangers side, I do see some young players like Langford, Carter, if he stays healthy. Josh Smith has really played well over the last 2 years. And they've broken two pitchers in the starting rotation in Rocker and Leiter that also could be, you know, at the foundation of another rebirth. But I'm not sure. I think the big question for the Rangers going forward for the next 30 days is, has the veteran portion of this team, as constructed, has it run its course?
Evan Grant covers the Rangers for the Dallas Morning News. Evan, great stuff, man. Thank you so much for your time.
Okay, guys. No problem. Take care.
Thank you.
Coming up next, we'll get the Orioles perspective. Mike Bordick, he's on the floor here in studio. He joins us next.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Here on the Fan. Orioles win 6-0 last night. Game 2 of the 3-game series against the Rangers at 6:30. Baltimore Baseball Night. Bob Haney and Jim Hunter live from Pickles at 5:30. And joining us now in studio, but also on the Win the Nation Fan Guest Hotline, it's our friend, Oriole Hall of Famer Mike Bordick. And Bordy, you like to lean optimistic. So how are you feeling about what you saw from Trevor Rogers last night?
Oh, wow. That was a great start. I mean, that was impressive. It really was. Good for him, right? It seemed like he had great command. His fastball velocity stayed consistent. He was locating. He didn't have any walks. I mean, I think that was pretty impressive. So, yeah, good for him. But once again, it seems like, I don't know, every time this team shines, it's like against a terrible team. The Rangers offense is one of the worst offenses of baseball. So, you know, kudos to them, though. You take what you can get. You win when you can, and they did last night. That was pretty convincing win, too, and the offense is starting to pick up as well.
Can you, and I know you just had this young man on your pod there with Jerry.
Be More Baseball.
Be More Baseball.
Yes, it is the Be More Baseball podcast.
Cody Mayo seems to be finding a bit of a home at first base, certainly better than third, and when he's been given opportunities lately, he's had some quality at-bats against righties and lefties, and he's driving in some runs, and he's hitting the ball harder. And they're like, let's face it, their season, come on, man. Like, you know, like they're not winning a World Series. Are you shocked that he is not playing more than once every 3 days?
Yeah, I'd like to see him play more, for sure. I think this is the golden opportunity. I feel like he's starting to get more comfortable, too. And he made a couple picks last night at first base that were, you know, Mountcastle-esque as far as like getting his eyes behind the ball and doing it the right way. So I think things are definitely trending in the right direction for him. And as soon as he starts popping home runs, I think offensively this kid's really going to take off. He seems like he's in a good place. You know, we talked to him today about his relationship with Manzolino as an infield coach and now manager, coming up with Buck Britton, got all his friends around him. I mean, what a great place to learn and really thrive. So I hope he gets more of an opportunity to play, because I agree. I don't know that there's going to be much of a chance for this team, although there's always still hope. But man, give the kid an opportunity to get his feet underneath him. You never know, man. Sometimes these guys take off. Look what's happening to Jackson Holliday right now. He has settled in, and he's a great leadoff hitter.
It's a perfect segue, Bordy. And it seemed like he was scuffling a little bit, but then Friday he got inserted into the lineup after Adley got scratched against a tough lefty in Max Free, one of the best lefties in all baseball, did really well. Three hits last night, two of them off Corbin, a lefty. He's playing with a ton of confidence.
Yeah, he sure is. That was so impressive the other day. You know, not being in the lineup, and then all of a sudden, boom, quick, you're back in there. So mentally, that shows that he's on it, man. He's locked in. First pitch of the game, nice line drive to left field off one of the best lefties in the game.
Yeah.
He looks really confident right now. And I've said this before, I think he has a really unique hitting style. If you pitch him in, he's already preset his front hip to where he will turn and burn on you as quick as anybody in the game. But he has the ability to keep his hands back as he cheats the front hip forward. He'll keep his hands back, and he's still able to drive the ball the other way and up the middle. I think it's impressive, and he is ready to hit from the get-go because he is jumping on the first pitch lately, too.
Talking with Mike Bordick, it's Inside Access here on the Fan. Bordy, we probably discuss some version of this every year, but we are nearing the trade deadline. It's a team that looks like a seller. You've been in this position where you've been in a clubhouse and you know you could be traded. What's it like for some of these guys coming to the ballpark knowing that they might get called into the office and being told they're getting dealt?
Yeah, well, it's a little, I don't know, I'd say scary, intimidating, because I think everybody on this team especially wants to be a part of this team as they continue to win and I guess strive forward, because they've all kind of collectively, at least the foundation of this team, come up together, and I think they feel good about that, and I think they really want to take the next step forward, and for this team and organization, it's to win in the postseason, right? So you know, I don't know if there's much talk of it. I know the veteran guys are more aware of it probably than the younger players, and that said, you know, a veteran player, all they want to do is win. So if you get traded, every guy's hoping, well, if I get traded, please trade me to a winning team and give them an opportunity to get a ring. I remember when Mancini recently got traded. You remember that? He got traded to Houston, and he came away with a ring, right? So good for him. And, you know, I even got a chance to play in the World Series the year I got traded from the Orioles. So I think that's what you hope for, because ultimately that's the bottom line. Players just want to be on a winning team.
Don't you think, like, to that end, everybody talks about, and you alluded to it, like, you're a little nervous and you're on edge, but, like, if O'Hearn goes to, Seattle. San Francisco, because they just got Devers, and maybe not Seattle, but, like, if they go to a place where they're going to have a chance to play in more big games, compete in prime time for a playoff push, play for a team in the playoffs and shine there, and then ultimately earn more money from it. Wouldn't the competitor in you sort of burn that way? And I guess it's different for a Sed who's been here so long. But is there not the flip side of it, which is, man, this is, it's an opportunity to go from a team that's a bit of a sinking ship to a chance to show my wares. And then if they want me back 6 months from now, they can talk to my agent.
Happen with you.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's the thinking, to be honest with you, from players. I don't know if they look to, unless they're disgruntled, you know, and I don't think Cedric Mullins is disgruntled. I don't think anybody on this Orioles team is disgruntled. And I think to a man, they really love coming to the park and being a part of this and wanting to try to right the ship together. And even, you know, when I was on a losing team in 2000, when everybody was getting traded away, you still felt collectively like, man, let's stay together and we'll try to get this done as well as we can. But obviously upper management didn't think that, so they traded everybody away. I think this team is still pushing forward and trying to stay together as well as they can. And I think they're going to be a combination of both buyer and seller. So I think that's how they're going to approach this.
If they are a buyer and seller, is Sam Bisaccia, is he untouchable for you, or would you look to swing a big trade as him with being the centerpiece?
I don't think, honestly, except Gunnar, because I think he is, you know, just got to be a mainstay. I don't know that anybody's untouchable, to be honest with you, because I think this organization this year has been just really eye-opening on many fronts. Obviously, the injuries have just been, you know, a catastrophe for this organization. But it also shows that, you know, even though they targeted depth this offseason, they need more. And the organization has been weakened dramatically since all their number one guys are now in the big leagues. So for sustainable success, they just have to find a way to continue to bring guys in and hopefully get top prospects. And I think that's the way they have to look at it.
Bordy, let the people know what's going on with the podcast and is Aloysius behaving?
Yeah. He's been great. It was a great pickup. He's really an angry man.
Yeah. Yes.
I would say curmudgeonish.
Yes.
But we had a great show today with Kobe Mayo. What a nice young kid he is, and he works hard to try to make himself as good as possible. You know what we asked him too? We asked him about possible outfield play, because I don't know that there's anybody in baseball that's got a stronger arm than this kid.
Yeah.
My gosh, does he have a cannon? And he said, well, I think I'm going to either be first or third here, but if I go to another team, they might put me in the outfield. And I was like, man, come on, try outfield here. Because, you know, Major League Baseball is lacking really good outfield arms. The Orioles have been spoiled with Laureano out there. He's been making plays like a big league shortstop. But yeah, big arm out there, Kobe Mayo.
Bordy, always a pleasure. We talk all the time. You kind of live here, so it's good that we got you back in studio.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys.
I appreciate it. Hey, coming up next, Aaron Rodgers speaks. What did he have to say? Northern Exposure next here on the...
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
fan.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure this is it. You know, that's why we just did a one-year deal. Steelers didn't need to, you know, put any extra years on that or anything. So, you know, this was really about finishing with a lot of love and fun and peace for the career that I've had. I mean, I played 20 freaking years. You know, like, it's been a long run, and I've enjoyed it. And what better place to finish than in one of the cornerstone franchises of the NFL with Mike Tomlin and a great group of leadership and great guys in the city that, you know, expects you to win.
That's Aaron Rodgers. He's back on Pat McAfee, and he took a 1 year deal because he knows it's it. Like, no, not because he it's almost like he implied that there were teams offering multi-year deals.
He's full of garbage.
But, like, literally, let's remind you, only one team really offered him anything, and that was the Steelers, and he signed a 1 year deal. But he said, this is probably it for him, Jason. And then he's going off in the sunset, never to be seen again.
Yeah. He's so delusional. He loves the sound of his own voice. He can't stop mythologizing himself. I don't buy for a second that we're ever going to be rid of this guy as long as he's got buddies in the media like Pat McAfee and shoulders to cry on. And as long as, I guess, he draws ratings or whatever he does, he had no other options. It's clear he wasn't excited about being in Pittsburgh. He wanted to wait for them to get Pickens out of there first before he arrived. He's going to throw Arthur Smith under the bus. It is all about him and not about this franchise whatsoever that he has no allegiances to. It's going to be a beautiful disaster, and I'm here for it.
I'll ask this question again. Did Mike Tomlin, Omar Khan, and the Rooneys think that they were an Aaron Rodgers away from winning the Super Bowl? Did they think they were an Aaron Rodgers away from winning their first playoff game in 9 years?
I have to ask again, like, what's the thought process of having him for a year before he retires?
It's stupid.
They win 8 games, and now you're resetting again next year.
And yeah, you have all those comp picks going your way, and the third round picks and all that. You're not going to be high enough. It doesn't make any sense. They're just too stubborn that they won't have this transition year.
We've already had more press conferences than, you know, anything real he's done with this team. Here's the other
he's
thing.
He's all in, though, Jason.
Yeah,
right.
We'll get to that in a second.
Well, that's my question, though. Like, he missed the whole offseason. So he didn't even get the mental reps. I mean, maybe they sent him a playbook, but whatever. He's walking the earth, ayahuasca, this or that. He's got his own ideas about how much he needs to do in the summer. And it was pretty clear when he's making $40 million with the Jets, he didn't think he needed to be there for mandatory minicamp.
No.
So, like, as much as they might, like DK Metcalf and these other guys might need him on the field, he's going to practice when he feels like practicing, and he's going to do what he needs to do, what he thinks he needs to do, and that's going to be that. But that could be problematic given that he doesn't know. This isn't even like with the idiot Hackett, where at least they had run the same offense before and had bid together in Green Bay, right? And they went and brought a whole bunch of receivers over to the Jets who had played with them before. They've got none of this going for them there.
Well, au contraire, Jason, because Aaron Rodgers on Pat McAfee today said he's all in with the Steelers.
I mean, I think it's not really can't go out like this. I love the game, and there's been a beautiful relationship. It was my first love when I was 6 years old, dreaming about playing quarterback and you know, being in a Super Bowl and winning the Super Bowl. You know, I think I wanted to be all in, and I had so many other things going on in my life that were taking my mind and my energy elsewhere. And that's why I appreciated how Mike was the entire time, just being able to have those conversations, honest conversations every single week was really meaningful to me. And the way that I was welcomed in was really cool. I wanted to be there for mini camp once, you know, I decided I was going to be all in. But I didn't need this, you know. I didn't need it at all. I don't feel the need to prove anything to anybody or don't have any chip on my shoulder that I need to hold on to. I don't want the attention. I know that's a narrative out there. When this is all done, you won't, it's Kaiser Sosa. You won't see me. I won't be in the public.
God, I hope so.
I don't want to live a public life. That's why it's so strange what's going on right now with my private life, because I don't want to live. I don't want to live a life in the public eye. I'm not going to be in the public eye. When this is done, I'm done, and you won't see me. And I'm looking forward to that. But while I'm in it, and this, for this year, I'm going to give the Steelers everything that I got.
Well, that was a lot of something. He's all in, Jason, and then he's going to disappear like Kaiser Sose.
I don't believe him for one second. He's already flirted with networks. Like, that's been reported on, that he's had his agents float out there. Hey, I see the money you're giving Brady and these guys. I want some of that. Now, according to the reporting, and it's been by pretty reputable media reporters, nobody wants anything to do with him. But you don't think Barstool or somebody would give him a play? Like, don't buy any of this for a minute. Don't buy any of this. Nothing about this guy is legitimate.
Doesn't McAfee pay him $1 million a year to come home with him?
Like, but I mean, you'd think that's tied to him still being a player. Maybe. But like, the idea that he truly will live in a jungle in a hut, smoking whatever off the grid, his ego is fueled by this. He needs this. He craves it. He'd be lost without people talking about him as much as he tries to act like he's the smartest guy in the room who's above the fray. He is the fray. He needs the fray.
Yeah, that's why he goes on McAfee every single week and says outrageous stuff, and it gets us talking, it gets national media headlines, all of that. It's calculated.
I know Bone has told us that he always hated Aaron Rodgers.
Always.
I have to admit, like, I was a huge Aaron Rodgers guy.
I was.
It's the heel turn that he's taken, and I know he doesn't care, and he's made more money than his children's children will know what to do with. But it is amazing to me sometimes that guys decide they want to go this route. Like, he was, I guess, the guy that preceded him in Green Bay is very similar.
Oh,
quite frankly.
Yeah.
Like, you know, so that they've emulated each other.
Unholy
in many ways.
Alliance.
Yeah.
Good on them, I guess.
It's something.
Bring it on. Bring on the chaos. I'm here for it.
Dude, I hope the Jets just absolutely blow them out.
Can you imagine if Justin Fields
harass him constantly? Justin Fields goes off. It would be chef's kiss.
Because isn't that more a Justin Fields revenge game than it is a Aaron Rodgers revenge game?
For sure.
Like, the Jets gave Aaron Rodgers every opportunity.
Oh, but you know this guy. I mean, come on. The whole week's going to be all about it. It's everything is about him.
Yeah. It's not about him,
it's
though, Jason.
It's always about him.
He's dreamed of this.
And then they play the Packers on Sunday Night Football.
Oh, that'll be fun. Where is that game in Green Bay?
I'm not positive, to be honest. I got to look it up.
I know man. Anyway, hey.
It's in Pittsburgh.
Hey, coming up at 4:30, Buck Showalter is joining the show. Curious to get his thoughts. He was in New York doing the game for Roku, Orioles and Yankees, so he got to see the Orioles up close with his thoughts on this team. But coming up next, we're here from the people, 410-583-1057. You buying Trevor Rodgers? What do you think of Jackson Holliday? We can talk some Ravens as well. Also, we have some notes on the Orioles. They got a couple guys on the taxi squad that are interesting for different reasons. We'll get you that, too, next here on The Fan. Chance to hear from the people, 410-583-1057. Your thoughts, O's, second game of a three-game series against the Texas Rangers. Charlie Morton on the bump. Trevor Rodgers just gave them their best starting pitching performance of the year a night ago. A couple of Orioles notes. Taxi squad. Brandon Young is there, and he would be on turn to pitch tomorrow, which is listed as a TBA, even though Sagano would be on turn. And Taron Vavra there, which is interesting because last night Tony Manziello said Jordan Westbrook's probably avoiding the IL, but I got to think he's here in case that's not the case.
I would say trust what they're showing you, not what they're telling you.
Bobby D.
This is a lot now. And again, I'll keep putting it in the terms that they can understand over there, the Wizards and the Warlocks in the warehouse. The baseball gods are telling you the season that you've had, the season that you're having, notwithstanding, these individual moments that have popped up lately, and the season you're going to have, and you have not built a franchise, an organization remotely capable of doing any damage in the playoffs. Look, they're not getting there. But even if you somehow think it's all going to come together, it's not. There is not sufficient pitching here to do anything in the postseason. So the direction should be obvious, but it just keeps compounding. Like, Brandon Young's missed a lot of time. It was what it was before he got here. Like, but if they're going to be this methodical about this, and so like that he's still ahead of, I guess, McDermott in the pecking order, like, God forbid they both just get a chance. then like you really better start responding to the stimuli. I know they hate to do that. They hate to get off of their calculators, right? Well, the calculator said we were going to win 95 games this year, so we're supposed to win. Well, it's not happening in the real world. It's not going to happen. So you need to respond to these new data points that are telling you you're one of the worst teams in the American League, and act accordingly. And yeah, Sagano hasn't looked right. Eflin hasn't looked right. Charlie Morton, I'm on over 15 and a half outs for him tonight. I hope he continues to look great. But if he fell off a cliff at age 41, given how difficult the start of the season was, how could that shock anybody? Like, so if you're not willing to embrace this stuff yet, like these larger realities, you better, because I got news for you. Brandon Young's going to struggle, and that's fine that he's struggling. But that's all the more reason why trade O'Hearn while he's got as close to a 9-something OPS as possible. Like, get ahead of some of this stuff. You've got more. Okay, Arizona might have more. But it's you and Arizona. You have the most at your disposal. I know that front office can walk and chew gum at the same time.
They're good.
They've proven it. You haven't. You better get to work. Like, if Westberg's going back to the IL, man, come on. Come on. Like, what are we talking about here?
And the Vavra move might be the precursor to that. It's all screaming out to you between the injuries, the ineffectiveness of some players, and the poor offseason that Michael Elias had. Add it all together, and that puts you where the Orioles are at right now. And you have to look at it big picture. You aren't going to win the World Series this year. You got way too many holes. You got to trade the guys on expiring contracts to replenish some of the farm system. And then you hope you have to have a really good offseason to get you back in position in 26.
Jason, I want to ask you something. Morgan Atsett, when we had her on earlier, she was talking about conversations that the ownership and the front office should be having or are having. Do you believe that there's serious conversations being had between ownership and Mike Elias right now about the direction of this club?
I mean, if there's not, and maybe it's not, maybe it's Arrighetti, maybe it's Cal. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. But, like, if they're not, then, and I can't vouch for that they are, because the GM's over his skis. This ownership group, none of them are experienced at this whatsoever. And to this point, they've looked nothing but naive and over their skis. I would say that the Brandon Hyde thing was a wake-up point for all of them. But this is also uncharted territory. And I still think Mike Elias is a pretty good politician with them. And I still think, while they would no longer come out publicly and say, we think he's one of the best GMs in the league and he's got the next 5 years all penciled out, I would think they learned that that was really asinine in real time and sounds even more asinine now. But how do we know? How could we know?
I think those conversations happened when Brandon Hyde got fired. Because I don't think that
they're
decision,
17 and whatever. What are they, 18?
They got a winning
record.
18
yes. and 17 or 18 and 16 yes, since they fired Manzolino. I mean, since they hired Manzolino.
I think those conversations happen, and it wasn't all Mike Elias that fired Brandon Hyde. And I thought that press conference that Elias had 3 days after the manager got fired on a road trip.
That was something.
It was a different tone that Mike Elias took, and he at least acknowledged the fact that, kind of like what Jim Bowden
told
us,
he's
on the
clock. Says? I mean,
it was a different tone. It was a different message.
Okay, and we just talked to Bordy, and is Kobe Mayo playing every day? So, I think, I'll say it again, I think this ownership group is incredibly naive and malleable, overly malleable. And the way they gushed about these people they didn't even hire before the season, that's why we made such a big deal of it, because I'm like, this is bad news. This is bad news. I don't know. This guy's a bit of a Svengali, Elias, apparently. He's got zero people skills, apparently, with agents. He's got zero people skills with his own players. Like, he's got these billionaires bamboozled. So if he wants to say, hey, look at all these other teams that everybody thought Texas was going to be good. They're bad. You know, like, who's great? The Yankees have come back to earth. You saw us. We stood up to the Yankees. We should have beat the Yankees. Should have, right? Should have. Our numbers say we should have beat. Our expected batting averages against the Yankees were better than theirs. I mean, there's a million different ways. If he doesn't want to concede defeat and he still wants to bow down and genuflect to his master plan that's been proven to be a complete farce, but all he has to do is convince one guy that it's still feasible. If he's not ready to admit defeat, who's going to absolutely say you're wrong? I know Cal publicly and Cal privately can be two different people, but Cal got asked about Michael Elias a week ago and was absolutely gushing about him publicly.
Yeah, but what is he? What is he?
You don't need to say all that.
That's pretty on brand for Cal, though. His whole career, when asked a question, he will give you a long, firm, positive answer.
I understand that, but yeah, I has he really been around these guys long enough to, even if he has a contrary opinion, and does he have enough skin in the game to really? I don't.
Sure.
I don't know. What's clear is, even though I banked for it and braced for it and spent the entire offseason telling you, they didn't see it coming. They were blindsided by it. And short of firing the manager and finally bringing in Mabry and some of these other things, like, I
baby steps.
I have a hard time giving them the benefit of the doubt.
Orioles and Rangers, 6:30, first pitch, 5:30, Baltimore Baseball tonight, live from Pickles, Bob Haney and Jim Hunter. And coming up next, let's go down on the farm, update on Chase McDermott. How's he doing? What is Sam Basayo up to at AAA? And we got a couple rehab assignments, Tyler O'Neill and Jorge Mateo. It's down on the farm next here on The Fan.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.